warm welcome to Scott Lewis.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Can you guys hear me in the back okay? Cool, thanks. So, talked this morning about artificial intelligence and social media. This has really been a labor of love for me over the last 4 years as I've gotten to learn how we make this world better. So I'm thinking about how do I present this information to you guys. I'm at home a couple weeks ago. I'm with my wife. I have 6 kids. We have 13 to 4. They're great. We're watching WALL-E. I'm thinking about how is it that that this information can be properly presented. And as we're watching the movie, we get to the scene where they're on the deck of the Axiom. The Axiom is where the people have gone to, where they're going to enjoy the next phase of life. They've been there for 700 years or whatever it is now. But the people are out on the deck and they're enjoying what technology is doing for them. And as I'm watching this with the kids, I'm thinking about two things. I'm seeing the man on the left there. He's about to set his cup down. It's totally simple. He reaches out. He's going to go put it down. And the cup holder pops out. Didn't really think a lot about that. And I'm watching the umbrella move as as the sun is kind of moving in the sky, so that people don't get sunburned. And it's interesting to me the way that technology, represented here in the movie, it's acting and responding to people as they are thinking and feeling things. And so my thought is, and kind of the position that we've taken in the world is that the brands that are going to win over the next 10 to 15 years of marketing are going to be the brands that understand they need to anticipate the needs of their customers and move to where they're at prior to their customers even getting there. So you think about the old Wayne Gretzky quote of, why was Wayne Gretzky so good? Because he always skated to where the puck was going, not to where the puck was at. So we really believe that brands, that's going to be the same way for brands. And so to set a foundation of what I'm talking about here this morning, so we've always understood the customer journey to be stimulus, first moment of truth. That's the moment where I'm at the shelf. I take a pair of shoes off the shelf. I look at them. I decide if I want them. I go to the cash register. I pay for it. I take them home. I put the shoes on, and I enjoy having a pair of shoes. A really simple example like that. But in the 90s, there's this little startup that happened out in Menlo Park. And they figured out that they could index data. And they've done a pretty good job of it. They have a $692 billion market cap this morning. So Google has done a great job of understanding that people don't just want the first moment of truth at the shelf where they can find a pair of shoes, but they want to be able to pre-search data. They want to be able to go out and look at many pairs of shoes, compare the shoes. They want to be able to look at what are the specs on the shoes? What colors do they come in? And they want to be able to take this, what they've titled, a zero moment of truth, and say, how is it that we can get a person to open their laptop and start searching for that information before they enter into an active buying situation? So my business partners and I thought, wow, Google's done pretty well. There've got to be some other indicators that tell us whether or not a person is about to make a purchase, whether or not a person is about to enter into a shopping phase. And, with the advent of social media, we've really seen this rise over the last 4 years of people connecting with one another, people expressing things on social media, people talking with one another. And we've really understood this to be a new moment in time for brands. So we have understood that social media has created this place where people are telling you fears, hopes, desires, planned trips, all of the stuff that they're about to have happen. But a lot of that is informing a brand and letting a brand know that a person is about to be making a purchasing decision. And so we want to capitalize on that. And what we're able to do with that, what we're able to do because we know that information, is you're able to augment the shopping process. In the same way that search augmented the customer journey, artificial intelligence layered on top of social, when it's done right, is able to shift the buying process. So we are able to And kind of on the top end, you're able to circumvent the search process and get a customer directly to your landing pages, directly to your product pages, with just by directly engaging with them. And I'll show you some examples of what that looks like in a minute. Or you can drive them straight through on a remarketing campaign because you've brought them to your page once before, and they're able to get there as they're browsing around the web. When this is done right, when this is done really well, what this creates is this creates intimacy between the brand and the consumer. Every person is looking for relationships with people. We're learning that people are also looking for relationships with brands. I mean, Matt even talked about that this morning. Ads are never going to go away. Kind of display ads are never going to go away. You're never going to, social and influencer posts, those are never going to go away. Those are always going to be important things, but what this new expression, this new moment of expression is creating is an opportunity for a brand to reach out with no barrier and have a conversation directly with their customer one-on-one. So my experience is I had a customer in Sears who said to me, we're talking about their New York stores. They said to us, can you help us sell out our air conditioner inventory? We get to the end of every season and we're stuck with a bunch of units left. And how could we get rid of this excess inventory? And so we started to look at how could we do that? So we started looking at Facebook and all of these networks where could I find people who are expressing needs for air conditioners? It's dumb, it's simple, it's a really simple thing of life. And what we found is that there are really two kinds of networks out there, and there's two kinds of activities that happen on networks. There are the closed networks, Facebook, Snapchat, your phone, your email, your messenger. That's where you have one-way communication. But then there are open networks like Instagram and Twitter, which I'll primarily be talking about this morning, that have two-way communications. A brand can connect with a person can connect with a brand, they can interact together directly. Those are going to be the places where, as you're thinking about where your customers are, you're going to want to be on those open networks. So that was a big learning for us. So what does it look like? As we got into looking for Sears, the how do I sell an air conditioner, I said, well, I wonder if there's anybody on social media that says, I need to buy an air conditioner. And lo and behold, there are people out there who are talking about needing to buy an air conditioner. To us, this was very, very high signal, very low noise in terms of this is a person that's expressing a need. Here's an example from Instagram. This is a person, again, who is really expressing a need that it's too hot in their house and they need to cool it off some way. Here's another example. What I would point out on this is that this person is not expressing a direct need. This person is expressing the desire for the benefits an air conditioner would provide. They are looking for, they have a hot room and, head-ass McDead-ass here, who has a great name, has a hot room and would like that cooled off. An air conditioner is something that can cool it off. There are a number of things that can cool it off, but an air conditioner is something Sears sells that they could give to them. Here is another example of a person who is just giving off sentiment that is letting us know that they might be entering into a buying phase. And I share all of these with you, these really specific examples of a really mundane thing of life to say, if you walk away from this presentation this morning and think my customers are not on social media, they couldn't be communicating things like this, I would tell you that you're wrong, and I would encourage you to go out and look and see where those people are at, because these are air conditioners. We're not saving lives here. We're just helping people get cool rooms. And these people exist, and they're looking for opportunities, and the brand is looking for opportunities to connect with them. So as you think about kind of your air conditioner person, who is the person that's your perfect example? There are two ways I want you to think about that. Think about what's going on in their life right now. If you're in the wedding business, are you looking for people who just got engaged? If you're in the break fix business, are you looking for people who are, who just broke their phone, or my favorite are the people that dropped their phone in the toilet this morning and then tweet about it? That's always good for your next job. Are you looking for people that are looking for money today? You know, are looking for people that need money for school or need money for, you know, to make ends meet at home? Think about the life events that your customer's experiencing, because that's going to inform you on how to search for them. And connected with that, think about how they're feeling. What are the emotions that they're experiencing? Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they Cubs won last night? I'm super fired up this morning that we're only down 3-1, and I'm tweeting about that. I'm excited, but a sports vendor might reach out to me with a message of excitement as well. So really think about what are the life events that they're experiencing. What are the emotions that those are connected to? Because that's going to inform you on how to properly search for them. Again, as you think, as we kind of step down the path into AI here and how you layer AI onto this, as you're looking for your unique customer, your air conditioner person, I would encourage you to head over to, you know, to marketsize.io. That will help inform you and give you some indication as to the size of your market. As we think about engagement, so I want to point out how brands are doing this well. I mentioned at the start, people are looking for one-to-one engagement, one-to-one brand connectivity with the brand. Again, we're looking at Mona. Mona was the really solid example of a person that needed an air conditioner for her room. The way that we encourage the clients that we work with is to talk to people in a conversational tone. Because people want to be treated like people. They don't want to be treated like, you know, it's just someone you're advertising to. We encourage them to use a conversational tone. We encourage them to be contextually relevant. We encourage them to be timely in their response. All of these things indicate to a person like Mona that she's valued. And that really is what you want to have as you do this one-to-one brand engagement, is you want your customer walking away feeling like they've been cared for. You don't want them walking away feeling like they've been marketed to. Here's an Instagram example. So, you know, you think about how difficult it is to live a healthy lifestyle. And when a person takes that step forward and says, you know, I'm frustrated with the way I look. I'm frustrated with the way that I feel. I want to be moving forward in life. We see these all the time. They're able, you know, Lifetime in this case is able to reach out to that person and is able to encourage them, but is also able to engage them in a way that is going to help them move forward in life. And then the last big example here is so at Staples. So if you guys are looking for examples of companies that are really, really doing this well, Staples is really doing a great job of this. They have a fantastic social team. They're looking for people that are just expressing the notion of frustration with ink and toner. That's something that happens to us all the time. There's always an important paper, an important document. My kids are constantly printing stuff for school, and there's never enough, seems to be never enough ink and toner. But they're reaching out to these people with a simple message that is just, we understand how you feel. Other people have felt that way before. We want to help make your life whole again. That really is the right way for brands to be engaging with consumers. So if I were to encourage you to go, you know, when you get to the airport this afternoon or when you get back to the hotel or whatever it is that you're going to do, and you want to think about how would I get started on this, it's really simple. You don't need to complicate it. Pick a primary network. Pick Twitter. Twitter's an easy one. Go out onto Twitter and really think about the person that I asked you to think about a minute ago, that person that had the life event and that person that had the emotion that was tied to that. Start searching for those people. Start searching for, where is my air conditioner person? When you've identified them, start to think through, what are the characteristics that would tell me they're my customer? They're saying, you know, I can identify some geography. They look like a good and reputable person. They seem like, you know, if I'm selling an air conditioner, they seem like they might be a homeowner. Like, all of these sorts of things that would lead me to believe I've made a good identification. And then I would encourage you to just reach out to them. Again, you want to be conversational. You want to be timely. You want to encourage them to take an action, right? Those are all the main things that you need to be doing. But don't try to get too fancy. just start making engagements. Get in and start to make those engagements and see what's working. And then track that. Really track that. Think about who you're targeting. Think about why you're targeting them. Think about what you're saying to them. And think about where you're driving them. I started on an Excel spreadsheet with this. There was no artificial intelligence when I got started. And we went through different iterations of messaging and different iterations of offerings for them. And very, very quickly, we were able to move from a very manual process into quickly creating technology to support what we're doing. So as you think about all of those air conditioner people out there, tens of thousands of them a month, you think about the fact of like, could I scale this in my business? And most of the businesses that I'll work with will start in one form or another where they have gone out and they've done this manual process themselves, and they'll come to me and they'll say, Scott, I just can't keep up. Twitter is constantly in motion. I'm sure we've all seen this slide pass around on LinkedIn and other various networks of just everything that is happening every minute on the internet. There are 450,000 tweets a minute. You couldn't possibly keep up with everything that's happening there. And to help put some skin, put some skin on the bones for you on that is, if you're in the wireless cell phone space, that's a space we know pretty well. There are 15 million conversations a day that happen there. Of those 15 million, there are 9 to 11,000 which are people we would say you should be reaching out to. The problem is you have to look through 15 million to figure out what the 9 to 11,000 are. And you just can't apply enough man hours to that. So in order to do this at scale, you for sure need to have a piece of artificial intelligence, or in our case, we have many pieces of artificial intelligence that put this together. Matt talked about some. I'm not sure how many of you guys were in Bernie Borges' breakout a few minutes ago, but Bernie talked a lot about artificial intelligences. There are really two ways to roll it. You can do this yourself, or you can do this, through managed services or people who've already done this. Teams that have some backing and teams that have a little bit of money, I would strongly encourage you to choose a name brand product, choose an IBM Watson, choose a Google Deep Learning. They've made some fantastic tools that are allowing brands to identify people well, to engage with people well, to determine ROI well. All of that is good stuff. You're probably going to have to roll a few of them together, which is, in the end, this is why I created Kick Factory, because I needed some ways to have our technology all rolled together so I could demonstrate for a customer, here is an identification, here's an engagement, here's how we're tracking this end to end, and this is how I'm able to show ROI to you, Mr. and Mrs. Marketer. So as I think about AI and I think about kind of where the world is headed, I was listening to a podcast by Bernie a few weeks ago, and Bernie talked about how he compared AI to where the web was in 1994. There's a lot of cool stuff we could do with it, but sometimes it's just dancing babies. And AI is really that way right now. We're really learning about what are the limits, what are the boundaries that we can put around this, and quite frankly, what can we do with it? We're seeing self-driving cars, and we're seeing these types of things where AI is really the underbelly of it, but they're just not ready for prime time yet. So what we do at Kick Factory is we do a hybrid model. We do a model that is technology and people together, because we think that the technology that can lift through 99% of the 15 million records, spiking up to 60 million records in a day on iPhone launch day, it's going to take a piece of technology that is going to have to filter that. And so we're able to then marry that with people, so that way we can make sure that the messages that are going back out into the world, not just the identifications, but the messages that are going back out into the world, are on brand, they're conversational, they're appropriately, they're appropriately timed. And this gives brands just total control over the process. This is certainly going to change over the next 10 years as AI becomes more and more honed. I hope that I'm on the front end of that, because if I am, I'll be up there with Google. So kind of the why, I shared a bunch of qualitative things this morning about why AI is good, what it will do for you and for your customer, but let's talk about the numbers for a second. So this is the Sears campaign that we're running. 76% click-through rate. Those are enormous click-through rates for compared to other digital marketing products we've done in the past. Their cost per clicks, they're about 25% lower than they're 25% lower than what they're paying through their search engine marketing today. In addition to that 25% lower, what they're getting is they're getting social value, a tremendous amount of social value. They are getting likes, retweets, favorites, all of that good stuff. They're getting SEO value because Google is indexing them and Google is giving preference to those conversations. And then they're becoming heroes. They're changing perceptions around, in Sears' case, they're around being an old company. People aren't looking at them as that. They're looking at them as like, wow, this is something cutting edge that they're doing and the way that they're trying to reach out and help me. That's of tremendous value beyond the cost savings, the dollar cost savings on the click that they're providing. In terms of orders, some people measure orders, some people measure leads, some people measure cart values. We are doing a 2-to-1 return for them through this 1-to-1 style marketing versus their SEM. And then obviously they are crushing it in terms of being able to identify the market and be first to respond. It's really important to be the first to respond. It seems like people give the majority of their goodwill to the brand that responds first. All right, so we looked at the journey this morning. The journey is simple. We had the stimulus. We saw where the zero moment of truth happened, the zero moment of truth being the moment I opened my laptop and began to search for a pair of shoes, the moment of truth where I walked to the shelf, I pulled them off the shelf and decided these are the ones for me, and the second moment of truth being the moment I took them home, put them on my feet, and thought they felt fantastic. We saw the opportunity for the expression. We saw the opportunity to begin to profile and understand consumers in a new way through the information they're expressing on social media. That, for us, created this ability to shift the shopping process, skip search altogether, or set remarketing cookies and drive through both of those channels. In Sears' case, as I showed, producing lower cost per clicks, higher engagement numbers, and overall rise in net promoter scores for them. Again, I will reiterate, we really believe the brands that anticipate the needs of their consumers and will move to meet them before the customer expresses that need directly, those are going to be the brands that win customers, and those are going to be the winning brands over the next 10 years as AI continues to improve. And in the end, I think you'll create yourself a nice little love story between you and your customers the way Wally and Eve did. So here's my contact information. You guys will have access to the deck through the conference, but if you want a copy earlier, I'd be happy to send it to you. You can reach me at any of those places. And again, I would strongly encourage you, head over to marketsize.io. That will give you a great opportunity to tell your boss why this is a great conference for you to be at, because you're able to show here's what the market sizing looks like, and you're able to figure out whether or not that's something you need to explore for your business. Thank you very much.
It's here for Scott.
Thank you.
So any questions? We have plenty of time. Yeah, come around there.
I'm curious if you've seen or know of any businesses that are in the B2B space that have seen success with this.
Yeah, so we are in talks with a business right now, but I'll share with you what we're going to be doing for them. It's a very large CRM, very, very, very large CRM. They are able to have people who are frustrated with their service. So let's say that I can't sort my sales reports correctly. They have a marketplace of tens of thousands of platforms that are tens of thousands of add-ons that are in those platforms that they're able to sell. So when Scott tweets about, when I tweet about how I'm frustrated with the fact that I can't sort a report correctly, the brand is able to reach out to that person and say, hey, did you know in our marketplace we have this product that solves that problem? You can buy it for 99 cents or $100 or whatever it is. So that does work very well there.
So
So what is the, do you ever get a negative reaction from customers who are like, why are you creeping on my, my feed?
So that's probably the number one question we receive is when you proactively outreach, how does a customer feel about receiving that? How do they feel about receiving that unsolicited message? Our data shows that it's about 4 in 1,000 people feel that way, where there's just a negative reaction there. The majority of people will say thank you. We have very, very high click-through rates, which tell us we're doing that well. But a lot of people will thank us. A lot of people will say, this is really great. I really appreciate you reaching out to me. And that's one of the things that we look for as an indicator of success, because it tells us we're connecting right person, right message, right timing. But you do see that from time to time. It's, you know, the internet is full of trolls, as we've heard 1,000 times here today. So does that answer your question? Sure.
As they say, I have a follow-up. I just wanted to find out about the air conditioners. Was it a successful campaign?
It is. Yeah, it is very successful for them. So we work with 7 different divisions of Sears today. That's how successful that was. So there's they have a huge, huge product catalog of things that you could be searching for and responding to and really just determining ROI on.
Any other questions for Scott? No? All right, well, let's hear it again for Scott. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great job.